actively not doing anything wrong and showing that they care about their work, they're doing a good job, and we have proof of that, and we can supply that to anybody who calls it into question.
As an employer, your business depends on your staff. They are the backbone of your company. But because you face unique challenges managing your team, you need to have the right resources. On this podcast, industry expert Alex Atwood tackles it all so you don't have to.
In this episode, I speak with Nicholas and AJ from a cool startup called Tulu. I learned about Tulu when my company partnered with them as they rolled out their technology to help test the NFL players for COVID-19. I learned that they started as Wipe Hero, which is an on-demand car wash service in Sydney, Australia. Now they completely flipped the script, and they're reimagining how the technology can help with everything from disaster recovery to helping the hospitality industry reopen. I always love to hear about how companies transform, and I'm very excited to hear their story. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey guys, so I first learned about Tulu through my environmental services company when they were doing disinfection for COVID trailers for some NFL teams. And I'm very excited to introduce this technology to you guys and to introduce AJ and Nicholas from Tulu. How are you guys doing today, AJ? And how are you doing, Nicholas?
Great, Alex.
Awesome.
Doing well, thanks.
Very good. Well, let's jump right in. So tell me about the journey from a waterless cleaning technology, which was called the Uber of car washes in Australia, to supporting essential sanitization services here during the pandemic.
Yeah, for sure. So it all began with our two co-founders in Australia. They actually created a company called Wipe Hero, who, like you so eloquently put it, were the Uber of car washes. And it centered around a proprietary chemical that was not water-based that they were using to actually clean fleet vehicles out in Sydney, in the Sydney area, and then throughout Australia. They sort of grew to within the market there and then decided to go take on the U.S. Around the time that they decided to launch in the U.S., the pandemic hit. So that was an obvious, easy foray into equipping cleaners and sanitizers, top-down sanitization and cleaning staff with our software, you know, to manage their day-to-day checklists and to manage their work and also to do live video auditing.
Wow, that's a big change from the Uber of car washes. So where was it that that you guys first started to implement the technology? What were some of your first use cases?
Great question. So some of our first use cases early on, as we transitioned, we started trying to initially just work on just vehicle sanitization for, ironically, the rideshare companies like Uber. But we moved on very quickly to partnering with logistics companies and into healthcare. We started out with a trial project. There was a joint effort with the logistics company Reef, along with BioReference, to start setting up these mobile testing trailers for COVID to really start impacting the communities and make sure that people were able to get tested regularly and to have it readily available. So we had those early successes, and then we started expanding, and we actually ended up working with BioReference and Reef on several more projects and got into helping support the NFL as well.
That's pretty exciting. Is the company still doing the on-demand Uber car washes in Australia? And is there a plan to bring that model here in terms of Wipe Hero to the States?
So yes, it is. And as far as bringing that model to here in the States, it's a little bit more complicated than we had initially thought it would be. We just, because there's three major cities or metropolitan areas in Australia, whereas there's hundreds in the US, it's a little more difficult to have that vast network of contractors able to support that. So we have plans of introducing something similar in the US, but really we're focusing our efforts on our platform and the technology and getting that in the hands of essential workers and really helping streamline everybody's processes.
Got it. So what I've discovered in working with you guys is that you guys have looked at now automating the process of checklists, right? The process of essential workers needing to go through and make sure that things are done somewhat in a linear fashion and things are done well. And you're using the technology, which is actually body cameras, to ensure that the oversight is there, to ensure safety, and some of the other things that we've talked about. Can you share an example of how Tulu's technology supports essential services in that way, whether through checklists or through their body cameras? Maybe a use case there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it comes down to the functionality and the fact that it's very, you know, it can be used in a lot of settings and a lot of places where if you had a business model that revolves around having folks that are on the front line or in the field doing some sort of job that requires management through a checklist and also could benefit from having a live audit and a live video stream, we can equip you with that technology. We can build out the information on the back end to help you get that done. You know, so I mean, things like hotels, housekeeping services. One of our more interesting use cases that we're about to delve into is actually an expansion, kind of an expansion of sorts with our current vertical. It's cleanup for hurricanes and natural disasters, which when we actually took a step back and looked at it, was very similar to the way that a top-down sanitization or even a housekeeping job might go. They, you know, albeit at a larger scale, you know, after your natural disaster occurs, folks would come out, they would assess the damage, build out the checklists and the scope of work, and then they could manage their work while on site. And using that live audit system and that video camera system, what they'd be able to do is make sure that they actually had a safer work environment for the folks in the field there, and also, you know, make sure that they can get a good read on the types of damage that have actually occurred on properties, with some of the various other moving parts that sort of make that job a more complicated, a larger undertaking. And for that, the live video auditing system with our software is really coming in.
Live video auditing.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to me how you guys have gone from on-demand car wash to live video auditing and checklists for hotels. I think that's brilliant. And I think it really exemplifies how you are able to, as a startup, be able to evolve and be able to transform to meet the needs of a completely different sector, to go into essential services and actually safety. I love that. But what do you say to people who say that body cameras on hourly workers is like Big Brother, right? What do you say to people like that?
So we get that question all the time. I'm glad you brought it up. So what we say to people who are against the idea of putting, or hesitant to the idea of putting, a body cam on someone is it's really for reassurance of that worker's ability to do their job and proof that they've done a good job on along the way. You'll get questions and people called out that they can't defend themselves on all the time, especially in things like hospitality and things in like logistics, where a cleaner is accused of stealing something from a hotel room, or a cleaner is accused of not cleaning something, or maybe a delivery driver is accused of damaging a package on during transportation. There's no way for them to defend themselves in that argument. And most of the time, that worker is let go, which is very unfortunate. So when you're having a video evidence, you have a video of the cleaner or the delivery driver actively not doing anything wrong and showing that they care about their work, they're doing a good job, and we have proof of that, and we can supply that to anybody who calls it into question.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you can flip it on the other side. So as opposed to being Big Brother, you're actually providing safety, and you're actually providing them the ability to be able to have proof if there's a situation that is in question. So I think that's great. Are there other applications right now that you guys are thinking, aside from disaster, aside from checklists for frontline workers, anything else that you're kind of seeing that you possibly didn't expect that now is a use for Tooloose technology?
Yeah, I mean, we're exploring a lot of different avenues. I mean, what comes to mind immediately is we're looking into folks there and that have had with COVID outbreaks for on their factory floor, which have tended to disrupt shifts. So going in there and helping first with their cleaning sanitization there, but also with the compliance element when it comes to OSHA regulations. You know, I mean, in the case of a manufacturer, if you have something like an OSHA inspector coming around and looking at your assembly line, or looking for different, you know, they'll come in, they'll inspect, they'll see something that might be a little bit off, then they'll give you sort of a time frame within which to correct it. And then they could show up a year later, 6 months later, a month down the line. It could occur kind of at random. But if you have that proof of work that things were compliant for the vast majority of that time, supposing that they come and check out your factory floor or your construction site or your mold remediation site, you know, whatever it might be, and they see that that's off on the 365th day, but you've been compliant for 364 days of the year, and it could just be something, you know, something that's an easy fix, you could potentially save people thousands of dollars. You know, so we've been looking into those areas. We've also been just really leaning on what the next chapter is after the pandemic for our existing partners and clients. So a lot of the folks who are doing the top-down sanitization and have, you know, teams of folks that are hazmat certified, what's another good fit for them? A lot of the time, they're going into mold remediation, looking at mold remediation for construction sites, looking into pest control, fire damage control, flood control, that sort of thing, you know, and remediating and fixing up those areas too. So anywhere where the functionality can work, we're delving into it. We're taking a look at what the potential way to alleviate pain points is using this technology. And we're glad to talk to anybody who's willing to do that.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And that's something about startups that I just feel is fascinating. I mean, you can discover technology. Sometimes you can discover a specific feature that can be a game changer for an industry that you never thought of. So, you know, big ups to you guys for being able to do this work. And I have a question about, like, what is it exactly that really motivates you and what makes you guys feel like, I'll start with you, AJ, working at a startup like Tulu, what really satisfies you about that, right? What's the big difference between working for, let's say, a Tulu and let's say a company that's more established, right?
Yeah. I mean, what I like, and I've worked at a few startups now. This is the third one that I've managed to work for. And what I really enjoy is the kind of ability to take ownership of my own projects and the ability to see an opportunity to grow with a company. You know, when you start some, you know, it's a lot of work, right? And it's hard work and it's a grind, but I'm just the kind of personality that enjoys that. And when I get my hands on a project, I'd rather not be sort of confined and restrained. I'd like to be able to take ownership of something and work it from all angles, and the ability to pivot, so to speak. I mean, you know, being agile, so to speak, you know, managing a project and seeing something going in one direction, but another opportunity presents itself, or maybe the way that you're going about it isn't necessarily the most efficient. Once you find that efficient solution, you can just pivot right away and change what you're doing on the fly in order to, in order to get the job done. Whereas if you're at a bigger company with more, I guess, bureaucratic, for lack of a better word, systems in place, you know, more structure, more entrenched kind of hierarchy, you have to go through people. Whereas here you can sort of, you know, ask for forgiveness as opposed to permission, I guess. And that's just a more productive way to really go about things in the tech sphere is what I find.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Nicholas?
So, I mean, the only thing that I can really add on is having the ability to directly influence where the product is going and how we're able to implement it with these new use cases and these new verticals. Our feedback that we're getting from our clients, the technicians on the ground, everything that we are thinking of to try to pitch into these new verticals and really help everybody grow and develop along the way. All of that feedback is listened to by our development team, and we're able to directly affect how we're getting from point A to point B. And it's really having a weekly touch base. Our head of product development, which is fantastic. I never worked for a company where I get to have just a half hour or an hour of just one-on-one time on a week over week with somebody who's directly developing the platform. And I think that level of input it's phenomenal to work with. And then, as AJ put it, we're able to really take ownership of the projects that we're working on and the direction that we want to go to really guide the company, guide the team, and develop every member of our organization.
And to piggyback a little more, just to add one more thing, when you're working in a space like this and using a piece of technology that's new, you see that you're not just satisfying a demand. You're not just satisfying a business need. You're actually actively changing the dynamic of an industry and the way that people work with this technology. And that's something that's just immensely satisfying. It kind of, you know, it's not just the personal satisfaction of being able to take ownership of your positions and take ownership of your initiatives. It's that when you look at the way that you're impacting an industry or the broader world, you see that you're actually doing that, which is great.
It's awesome. Yeah, that's right. I can tell you guys are passionate about what you're doing, which is awesome. And I can see that you guys have been able to actually create what the future of Tulu looks like through experiences with entrepreneurs like myself, through communication in different industries. And it really does give Tulu the ability to disrupt in a lot more different ways than just, you know, the on-demand car wash aspect. So I really love this. Tell me about what's next for Tulu. What is it that you see the future bringing for Tulu?
I mean, what we're looking to do is, you know, expand our verticals, add verticals that we're servicing, and then also extend our network of partnerships. You know, we're kind of believing in that a community approach and a community approach to changing an industry and having a really great, integrated platform where people can manage and hire and pay their employees and staff through one single platform, and where new features that we might not be able to offer today, we can offer tomorrow through strong strategic partnerships with other software companies that have, you know, a good natural business fit to solve cases is something that we're looking to expand on as well. So just a really strong network of integrations and then new verticals that we can tackle in any way that we can, you know, add functionality and become sort of a Swiss Army knife for anyone who needs to get anything done in the real world and manage their information through the virtual world. That's where I'd like to see it go.
I like it. Swiss Army knife. Do many, many things and very effective and very efficient. Very good.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, how would an entrepreneur, business owner, or someone who has a workforce that's interested in implementing this technology, how would they be able to reach out to Tulu?
So you can visit our website at trytulu.com. That's TRYTULU.com. There's a contact us page, or you can reach out to our support line in general and just send an email to support@trytulu.com. And we'll be able to get you in touch with whoever would be best suited to handle whatever you'd be interested in connecting on.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, guys. This is super exciting technology. I love to see how it's going to evolve, and I look forward to continue to working with you guys.
Likewise.
Thank you. Likewise.
For sure.
Have a great afternoon, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
Take care.
Take care.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Off the Clock. Don't miss next week's tips around innovation and HR. Subscribe to the show. You can catch us on YouTube, Apple, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, be kind and thrive.